Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host this show. And today, I have another great guest on. His name is Mark, and he's actually from London. And so I'm going to bring him on right away. So, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nancy. Great to be here.
Now, you're in London, and I got you because somebody sent me a message saying he would make a great guest. So before I really start to ask you questions, Mark, can you tell the listeners a little bit about who Mark is and what you do?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I work for the Aetherius Society, which is an international metaphysical organization which was founded in London, England, in the mid-50s. And this organization is dedicated to spreading the wisdom of extraterrestrial beings and applying this wisdom to our everyday lives.
That's really interesting. See, I'm very much into the ETs, the UFOs, because I believe they have been here for a very, very long time and that they're not going to go away. However, our government and a lot of other governments seem to want us to believe that they do not exist. So I have a little hard time with that. So, Mark, what do you think about the way the governments handle UFOs and ET info?
I think it's a very complicated issue. I think we have to be balanced about it. I do believe that there have been government cover-ups and that there probably still are. But I think also that sometimes people get a bit carried away in even overestimating the ability of governments to hide information from us. I don't think, for example, that our Prime Minister is sitting on a whole load of really exciting UFO cases. I might be proved wrong, and is just refusing to release them to the public. I think it's possible that there is even deception within the government, among individuals, and maybe certain people know certain things, but it's not a case that everyone in government knows the truth and is, you know, wickedly hiding it from us. I think also probably that different people in power at different times have known different amounts. And there may have been a world leader in the 1950s who knew a great deal more than perhaps a world leader might do today. So I'm very open-minded about it. But the fact remains that whether they're hiding information now deliberately or not, that they don't seem to be grappling with the issue in an intelligent and open way. For example, our Ministry of Defence in the UK used to have a UFO department, which has now closed down because, you know, to cut a long story short, it hasn't really achieved anything. They've gathered information, they've made certain information available to us, we don't know how much, but they haven't come to any conclusions, not that they've told us anyway, and it seems like they've given up, which you could say is an act of gross weakness, or you could say is just being very, very honest, probably a mixture of the two in a certain way. And I think that means that it's left now, in this country at least, much more to private organizations to fill the gap.
In America, they have a lot of different UFO groups, and they're always trying to uncover things, and they always report about the different sightings actually around the world, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Now, for a very long time, the UK, Europe, all of that area had many, many more sightings than what the U.S. was having. Do you have an idea about, but now they're kind of like being all over the place. But, you know, over in, you know, Europe, they have a lot of very spiritual areas. You know, they have the places that the UFOs have been known to go, and whether they're still going there or not, it's not really being talked about, you know. And so a lot of people seem to think that because of the lot of spirituality that goes on over in certain parts of England and that area, that's why the UFOs would tend to show up over there.
Well, I think that's a very interesting point. We have been told by extraterrestrial beings through our founder, Dr. George King, who was a genuine contactee, that England is now of great occult significance, great spiritual significance, much more so than previously. And we even believe that in Scotland, so when I say England, I should rather say the UK or the British Isles, in Scotland, there is actually a retreat of the spiritual hierarchy of Earth now, which, although these beings are not extraterrestrial, they're terrestrial ascended masters, they are very advanced beings who operate on different planes of existence very often and have a very close relationship with the beings from other planets who are visiting us. There are also, in the UK now, 9 holy mountains, New Age power centers, which anyone can climb, whether you believe they're holy or not, and send out spiritual power just through having an open mind by thinking spiritual thoughts, or better still, by conducting some kind of a positive magic ritual, such as prayer or the chanting of mantra, in devotion to the divine or to great masters, or to bring about healing and upliftment upon Earth.
That's pretty interesting. You talk about how they can do mantras in prayer. You know, over here in America, we are told over and over and over again how religion is a big aspect of our life. And I have a very hard time in believing how religion is taught. But there is a difference between religion and spirituality. Wouldn't you think so?
There is, yes. It's really, I'm a big fan of religion, which is quite controversial today, particularly in view of all the atrocities that have recently been carried out in the name of religion. But religion, I think, could be looked at a bit like medicine. In essence, it's a good thing. But just like pills, you could take a pill and it could save your life or certainly relieve pain. But if you take an overdose, if you misuse the pill, you could die. And so it is with religion. If you misuse religion, then all that positive energy and power that is attached to the essence of religion will be negated, and it can, unfortunately, be a source of great evil. And this has given religion a bad name, certainly in the Western world. And organizations like the Aetherian Society, which are religious in the sense that we believe in the divine and in prayer and the like, we are not religious in that dogmatic sense or the oppressive sense that many traditional religions have sadly degraded into.
Yeah, a lot of the traditional religions actually use it as a control factor, and that's why I have a really hard time.
I think the bottom line is, it's not so much religion that's at fault, it's the people in the religions that are at fault. Sometimes I think genuine mistakes are made, which are unfortunate, and sometimes people consciously misuse religion for their own selfish ends, which often are the absolute opposite of what that religion is about. And Christianity is perhaps one of the worst examples of that. If you look at it,
I agree with that. I agree with that one 100%, Mark. Now, when did you start being really interested with the studies of UFOs, and then it kind of conjoined with religion? Because, you know, you believe that they're helping us to have our awakening. So can you tell us when that kind of thought started happening with you?
Yes, certainly. From early childhood, I had an interest in religion and spirituality in general. And I was always a believer in a divine source. And my question was always not, is there a God, but what is God? If you define God as being the greatest force in the universe, the power behind power, light behind light, then it's not so much a question of does it exist, it's a question of trying to understand what form it takes. And I don't think it takes all that much imagination to realize that the supreme power of the universe is not an old man with a beard on a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
This then developed into an interest for me in paranormal things. And I grew up in a very conservative community, and there wasn't a whole lot of paranormal stuff going on. But when I was 14, I became interested in UFOs, and I discovered the Aetherius Society through a very interesting television program called Horizon about the planet Venus. And that was when I discovered the American headquarters of the Aetherius Society, which is based in Los Angeles. And what struck me about this organization, to be really honest with you, was how come this man who was being interviewed, who seemed like a pretty normal kind of guy, was coming out in a very logical, measured way with the most outrageous claims, like the fact that Jesus is actually from the planet Venus. And I certainly didn't believe it all immediately, but I was fascinated. In that way, it was kind of love at first sight, but it didn't blossom into a relationship for many years. I became a member of the Aetherius Society when I was 18, and I started working for the Aetherius Society full-time about 6 years ago when I was 23 or 4. And I've been amazed in my journey on this path how it validates itself every single day in various different ways. I've never seen a UFO. I've certainly never had physical contact with an extraterrestrial. So I haven't had that kind of proof. But the proof that I have had is in applying the teachings of extraterrestrial beings as given through Dr. King, through his mediumship, applying these teachings into my own life, using them for self-development and, more importantly, to help others, and found what an effect it has had on my state of being. I certainly don't claim to be at peace all the time, or happy all the time, or fully enlightened, or anything like that. I've got a long way to go before I achieve those things. But I would say that I have found a sense of spiritual fulfillment and a sense of love for God that I never thought I would find, actually. And on a more basic level, I've also experienced things that I never thought I would experience, like the sensation of spiritual energy, which is a real tangible force flowing through me. On one occasion, I remember the sensation was so strong when I was on a holy mountain in Wales that it felt almost as if my forearms and just above my elbows had kind of turned to stone. It was like nothing I'd ever felt before. And then this surge of light went through me, and it was just tremendously inspirational. I wasn't expecting it at that time in that way, even though I knew I was in a holy place and believed it was a holy place. I don't think it could have been psychosomatic, because, as I say, I just wasn't expecting it. It took me by surprise. And there have been many instances like this in my life when things have taken me by surprise. It's one thing if you're expecting something to happen or expecting to feel a certain way and then you do. You could say, maybe that's psychosomatic. Maybe you're just imagining it. But when you're not expecting it and it happens, you've got to think, well, hey, something is really going on here.
Well, I would also agree with that, too. You know, a lot of people, I think, Mark, experience different things like that. I just don't think that a lot of people are aware of what it is or where it's coming from, so they take it and they just kind of throw it in the back of their mind, thinking, oh, it's just something weird that's going on and I'll be fine tomorrow.
And in some ways, I think sometimes it doesn't matter too much how much they understand. If someone, for example, is a very devout Roman Catholic and says a prayer of love and peace for the world, or in devotion to the Master Jesus, they may well have a tremendously uplifting surge of spiritual energy flow through them. if they're really putting their heart and soul into it for the right motive. They might not think it's spiritual energy, though, in the way that I think it's spiritual energy. They might think it's, they might call it a miracle of God or something. I don't think that matters too much. The important thing is that they are, just as we are, raising our consciousness towards a higher source, venerating a great being like the Master Jesus, who we believe is from another planet. They believe he's the one and only Son of God. Let's just agree to disagree, and let's just say he is great. So the experience might be very similar, but the interpretation is very different.
It is. See, I've personally always believed that he's an E.T., and then when the four wise men, according to our tales, say that they saw this bright shining light and star or whatever they want to call it, I think it was an E.T. crash. But, you know, I can't prove that. That's just my own thought in it, because some of the things that have happened or things that, you know, have been talked about that have happened really make no sense if you go back and you read our Bible. It just doesn't quite...
Well, exactly. If you believe the story of the Star of Bethlehem, how could a star direct people to a single stable and then hover over that stable? It's just utterly ridiculous. But the idea that a UFO, that an extraterrestrial spacecraft could do that, is far more plausible, I think. And if you look at it coldly, without the conditioning that we're used to, it's much more rational to believe that.
Yes. I agree with you, Mark, because when I was 6 years old, I had a really freaky accident where I landed with my head and neck under my back. And by all rights, I should be dead or paralyzed. Of course, I'm not, okay? But at that time, I call my angels coming through, talking to me, telling me that I'm fine, I'm okay, there's nothing wrong with me. I know a lot of things now. You just can't use it yet. We'll let you know when. That's how I grew up, hearing this beautiful angelic voice that I call my angel, you know, kind of guiding me through what I needed to do in order to get basically to where I am today. But it was
a
very
wonderful
strange
story.
It is, and it's a very strange and unique story, you know, to me, but it happens to a lot of people in a lot of different ways. You know, so from the time I was 6 years old, after having this accident, I said to my mom, I'm not going to church anymore. And, of course, my mom, you know, said, oh, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. And so we kind of argued back and forth, but I was very stubborn, and I said, no, I'm not going. And finally my mom said, well, why are you not going? And I said, because I don't understand how I see all these people, because I lived in a trailer court at the time, who can be really mean and really horrible to each other and to everything else. And then they show up for this church on a Sunday in their Sunday best, and it's all supposed to be okay. And then that very next day, they start all over again being really mean and cruel. And I said, I'm not believing in that type of energy. But I don't think I said energy. I think I said just that action or something. And so I didn't go, you know, and because my mom didn't have an answer for me, because that was absolutely true, that that's what was going on. You know, so later when I became 18, I started visiting all different kinds of churches to find out really what religion, quote unquote, was all about, how it related to each other, and why is everybody kind of in a different frame of mind, but yet it's all supposed to be going to the same place as to believing in, you know, God, Jesus, whatever. And so I did a lot of studies on that because it didn't make sense to me. And so when I reread the Bible over and over again, it didn't make sense to me, because to me it was man-made stories. And as it was rewritten, they added whatever tale they wanted to tell. And it wasn't just written by one person, because supposedly each person, you know, that they've talked about in the chapters actually wrote their own chapters. And then somebody put them all together. You know, and I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've been told throughout the course of my continuing my study to find out really what people are talking about, because I have a very hard time believing that Jesus, God, whatever you want to call him, is anything other than an ET, and they are trying to help us. But people are really abusing that whole system, unfortunately, and it's going to come crashing down like all the rest of the systems are going to come crashing down. And it's time, because truth is time, and it's like now. You know, so I was very different when I was a child growing up, a rebel like I am now, and I won't take back seats for what I believe, because that's what I believe, and I don't change my mind if that's what my belief system is. But it always baffles me how a lot of people will, like, I'm a psychic, so they'll look at me and go, oh, you're a psychic, ooh, you know, you're evil, you're bad, you're whatever. And it's like, yeah, okay. I don't argue with them. I just know where my beliefs come from. So I've always found it very interesting, Mark, to hear other people's ideas about, you know, the way the Bible is and how true they may think it is or what they may think really is, really happened back in that time, because we don't really have a record of it that we know of. So that's why I was asking. Now, you wrote a couple books. So the last book that you co-authored is called God's Guides and Guardian Angels. So, Mark,
that was
the first one
I co-authored. Yes, the last one was Prayer Energy.
Okay, so can you tell us about the first one, and then tell us a little bit about the second one also?
Sure. I feel very privileged to have co-written both of those books with best-selling author Richard Lawrence, who is the executive secretary of the Aetherius Society in Europe. And God's Guides and Guardian Angels is a book about mediumship. And the reason this book was written is because mediumship is absolutely key to understanding the Aetherius Society, because most of the wisdom that we've been given by extraterrestrials in this organization came through the mediumship of Dr. George King, our founder, who passed away in the late 90s. He was a very exceptional medium. He was born in 1919, and he was a conscientious objector during the Second World War, but still played a very active part in the war, but in saving lives. In the Blitz, which was very dangerous in London. And then after the war, he devoted himself to yoga. Not yoga in the sense of just as a keep fit regime, like many people think yoga is today, although it can be. But yoga in the sense of learning how to enter deep meditative states and gain control over psychic ability. And he did this for an average of 8 to 10 hours a day, for about a decade, and this is in the 40s and 50s, when people knew even less about yoga than they do today. And he did this at the same time as doing a full-time job and living in London, which is a very rare thing to even claim. I'm sure there are people who might claim it in the East who've spent time in a cave in the Himalayas, but to do something like that in London, especially at that time, is absolutely unique, I think. Through doing this, he developed extraordinary mediumistic abilities, and he was able to enter a deep yogic trance state, positive trance state, which is very different from the negative trance states that some mediums use. And when in this state, extraterrestrial beings from the higher planes of other planets in this solar system and even beyond were able to speak through him. So God's Guides and Guardian Angels explains mediumship using the more basic experiences of Richard Lawrence, and then using those experiences to put the incomparably vastly higher level of mediumship of Dr. George King into perspective, and to make it more understandable for people who might not be so familiar with this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are starting to believe in reincarnation. For a very long time, they did not. You know, and again, it's because part of the religious talks were that you have one life. But I've always believed in reincarnation. And so, you know, when you talk about your book, there are some questions that you ask. And one is, do we live forever? So in your book, because I didn't get the chance to read the book, you know, does it answer that question?
Absolutely, it does. We do live forever, yes. Not obviously in the same body, but death is an illusion. As the great master from Mars Sector 6, stated through Dr. King, there is no such thing as death. When the physical body dies, the astral body, for want of a better term, passes onwards to another realm of existence, a realm that is matches your state of consciousness and evolution and karmic pattern. You then spend a certain amount of time on this other realm, and then you are reborn onto this realm in a certain situation that will give you the experiences you need to advance. Eventually, it might take a very long time, it might not take so long, eventually we will master all experience that we need to master on this earth. And that is the time when we no longer need to reincarnate upon earth. When that happens, as explained in Dr. King's brilliant book, The Nine Freedoms, which is available from the Aetherius Society, when that happens, we will go through the initiation of ascension. And that is basically the beginning of immortality. We will still have a physical structure, but we will have control over that spiritual structure. We'll be able to rejuvenate ourselves, regenerate ourselves, change our physical form at will, as needed. And at that time, we can either stay on this earth to be of service as part of the spiritual hierarchy of earth, which I mentioned earlier, working largely behind the scenes to help humanity to advance, or we can be born onto another planet, onto a higher realm of another planet. And when I say born, because such a person is so advanced, they don't need to go through the stage of being a zygote and a fetus and a baby and all that. It's not the result of a physical union between man and woman. The intelligence is born as an adult through the logos, the intelligence of the planet itself, because planetary bodies are actually living gods, and they sacrifice their full potential, in a sense, in order that lesser life forms can exist upon them. This process of evolution goes on and on and on. In the Nine Freedoms, it explains that, first of all, you will be born onto a planet such as Mars. Later on, you'll be born onto a planet such as Venus, and eventually onto the planet Saturn, which is the highest planet in this system in terms of spiritual experience. And then we'll be born onto the Sun as a solar being, which is even more advanced. And if this process will go on and on and on till we are eventually planetary beings, solar beings, and even consciousnesses meld together to be galaxies. So life certainly goes on. We are all in essence divine, even if we might not act like it very often. And divinity is timeless, is everlasting. Divinity gives us our life and is our life. It's more than that too, and it is eternal in every sense of the word.
That's pretty neat. Mark, can you give out your website and information for people to get a hold of you?
Certainly. The Aetherius Society's website is www.aetherius.org, and I'll spell that word for you because it's a very difficult word to spell. A-E-T for Tommy, H-E-R-I-U-S for sugar. So that's www.aetherius.org. And I'll also give out the free phone number of the American headquarters in Los Angeles, if I may. And that is 800-800-1354. And if anyone wants to get in touch with me personally to ask any questions about this interview, they're welcome to do so. And my email address is info@markinfo.co.uk.
Now, in the book, God's Guides and Guardian Angels, you also talk about one of the questions that's on here is that you ask if guides have changed the course of history. Can you, before you explain that, can you explain the difference between the guides and the guardian angels to a listening audience?
Yes, that's a very good question. The world being what it is, these terms are used differently by different people. So we're not trying to lay down what's right and what's wrong in terms of how these terms are used, but just for the sake of clarity in the book, We use the term guardian angel to describe someone who has passed on in the way that I described before and is now residing on another realm of experience attached to this earth. They might be quite an ordinary person, like a deceased relative or friend, or someone you maybe have never met before, who helps you from the other side, depending on how responsive you are to their help. You may not even believe in guardian angels at all, but they may still be able to influence you in a positive way, send you certain healing and guidance at times of trouble. How much they can help you depends on you, and one of the factors, of course, how receptive you are to spiritual impulses that they may send you in various ways. It's quite a complicated matter, actually. But just to keep it simple, they can help you. They can't solve all your problems, but they can help you whether you know they exist or not. And, of course, if you go to a medium, then maybe they can speak through the medium and give you certain advice. The limitation, great though this is, the limitation of the guardian angel is that they are ordinary people, even though they've passed on. Just because you pass on doesn't mean you turn literally into a great angelic being. As George Bernard Shaw says, in heaven an angel is no one in particular. And these guardian angels might have been your auntie, who was perfectly ordinary when she was alive on earth. And when she's passed on, although she should be believing in life after death, and that she's extremely stubborn, she will not have changed a huge amount, most probably. She will still be your aunt. She will not be wise and all-knowing. I've even come across someone who told me that a deceased relative had spoken to them through a medium and advised them to follow a particular path that is contrary to a belief in other realms of existence attached to this earth. So this person was still clinging on. Although she was well-intentioned, she was still clinging on to the old dogmas of her religion, despite the fact that she was now residing on another realm which, according to her religion, should not exist. So there is the limitation there. There's good and not so good attached to the help of a guardian angel. It's fine to have a guardian angel. It's great to have a guardian angel as long as we take their help in its correct perspective. That it is just that. It's like the help of a loving friend, not of a great master. A guide, in the way that we use the term in the book, is a higher intelligence, is someone also who's lived on this earth and passed on, but is not quite so ordinary. A great artist, or perhaps a very dedicated, a truly spiritual monk or nun, or a very unselfish doctor, someone of that kind of nature, may become a guide. And their interest will be less personal. Whereas many guardian angels are deceased relatives or friends, a guide is more likely to pick someone not because of a personal emotional connection, but because of what that person is doing. So to take the example of a great doctor who's died, they may choose a great doctor who is now alive on this realm to try and inspire them, perhaps, towards making certain medical breakthroughs, which the person, the guide, may know about already, because the higher realms where such a guide would be residing, their technology would be more advanced than the technology on this realm. It would be ahead of its time. So they may be able to influence this doctor in some way to help him to bring through certain technology, certain humanitarian advances. So this is why it says on the back, you know, have guides changed the course of history? Yes, they have. because guides have inspired many great people in different ways, be they artists or scientists or what have you, to make positive changes on this realm. The people involved may have no idea. They may not even believe in life after death. But because of their pure motive, because of their dedication to their field and the sacrifices they make for their field, and because they really want to help humanity in a certain way, they have somehow enabled themselves to be channels for this great light to flow through them from another intelligence. On a higher level still, a great master on this earth, like Dr. King was, by dint of his own efforts, not through the whim of God or some strange miracle, but because he worked for it, a great master can receive inspiration and even mediumistic communication from a master even greater than themselves. Because the thing is that to receive particularly direct communication from a higher being, you yourself have to in some way be able to reach a comparable level of consciousness to the level of consciousness of that being. So, you know, Joe Bloggs, who really has very little understanding of metaphysics, has never done any meditation in his life, is not, through just saying one prayer, say, going to be able to have contact, direct contact, with the Master Count Saint Germain. It just doesn't work that way. Such a person would not deserve this contact. And the contact could even damage that person's consciousness, their conscious structure.
So the archangels, like Michael, Jermaine, all those guys, they're not the same as a guardian angel. They're much higher. Is that how I'm understanding it?
Beings like Count Saint Germain, in the way that we use the terminology, which I'm not saying everyone else is wrong if they use it differently, it's just for the sake of clarity. But in this book, yes, to us, Count Saint Germain is worlds away from being a guardian angel. Guardian angel is likely to be a deceased relative giving you advice on, you know, please stop smoking because it's bad for you. Which is good advice, but it doesn't take a great adept to tell you that. Count Saint Germain is much more likely to be working with a great master on this earth, or with an organization on this earth which is putting into practice the teachings of a great master. They work on, the greater the being, the more impersonal, as a general rule, their work is. They're not looking at individuals so much as the world as a whole, how to help humanity as a whole, as a planetary race.
So when a lot of people say they are channeling like Saint Germain or Gaia or Archangel Michael or even God himself, where is that coming from?
Well, that's a very interesting question. There are various possibilities. Of course, the simplest answer is some people are delusional or lying. We cannot run away from that fact. However, there are also going to be some people who, I mean, there have been people in history, I believe, who would have been capable of channeling a being of the evolutionary level of someone like Count Saint Germain. But I think they're few and far between. What sometimes happens is that you may have a medium who is channeling a guardian angel or a guide, genuinely channeling such an intelligence, a comparatively basic intelligence relative to someone like Count Saint Germain. But they think that it is Count Saint Germain. So they're right in the information they bring through, but they're wrong in the identity of the communicator. It may even be that if you may have a guide who is giving information through a medium, good information, and the medium wrongly identifies them as Count Saint Germain, to continue with that example. And the guide allows them to believe this, because if the guide stopped them, if the guide tried to stop them in some way, it would mean the end of the communication. So the guide has a very difficult choice. Do I give my good teaching through this person, allowing them to wrongly believe that I am someone greater than I am? Or do I give no teaching at all? So that's a difficult answer to come up with for these guides sometimes, I think. And it is possible, theoretically possible, that sometimes these guides do just allow the medium to wrongly believe. They wouldn't encourage it, but they just turn a blind eye to it, as it were, that wrongly believe that they're greater than they are in order to get the teaching through. I don't know of any specific instances of that, but I do believe that it is theoretically possible and may well have happened, may well be happening around the world at this time. So this would explain why it doesn't always add up, that you may get someone who's getting a good message and says it's Count Saint Germain, but clearly is not advanced enough to be in contact with Count Saint Germain. It may also be possible that such a medium is in contact with a guide who is somehow, maybe very, very distantly connected to Count Saint Germain. They may practice the teachings of Count Saint Germain. They may be part of the Count Saint Germain school, which quite likely would exist on another realm. So in that way, it's kind of like a white lie. Definitely, in an ideal world, mediums would always get the identity of the communicator correct. But, you know, we can all see that we don't live in an ideal world, and sometimes people on other realms, just as people on this realm, have to be a bit pragmatic.
Yeah, see, because, like I told you, I have an angel voice that talks to me. Do I know who it is? No. Do I ask? No. I just accept what they have to say because they haven't steered me wrong yet. So when I tell people, they go, well, you know, who are you channeling? I go, I have no idea. You know, why doesn't it have to have, why do I have to have a name for it? Mm-hmm. I know what I get, and I know what I follow. You know, but since I interview so many people, I interview, you know, people who, quote, say that they're channeling whomever. And I have a very hard time, a lot of times, believing that it is from the source that they're giving, only because it is such a higher up source. And it's like, well, why did they choose you? You know,
is one of the interesting things about Dr. King, is that you can see why he was chosen by these great beings from this world and beyond, because he had done, one of the key reasons is that he had done so much yoga training under great discipline, showing great detachment and skill. He'd done this for many years prior to being able to channel these beings.
Because, I mean, I get to talk to a lot of people, and I, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, you're lying, because I cannot prove that. I can only listen to what they're saying and then listen to what my own insides are telling me or my voices are telling me. Because a lot of times the channelers that are doing the channeling, they're saying things that if somebody would just open their eyes and look around, they would already see it.
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, sometimes you get, you know, supposedly some great master who is talking through a medium, and they might be saying something that's true, but, you know, it's common sense. You don't need a great master to say that. You know, if a great master is talking through someone, it's for a very good reason.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Yeah, they don't do anything haphazardly, these people.
Yeah.
It may be sometimes that great masters do say things which seem obvious, but there will be, certainly in the case of Dr. King's communications, there is also an energy influence behind it. So if Joe Bloggs says God is all, that's one thing you might say, oh, well, yes, I believe that. But if a great master says God is all, they're not just saying that. They are making an impression onto the what we call the mind belt, the whole consciousness of Earth. They are radiating a certain kind of energy to transmute and transform, to raise the consciousness of humanity. So there's sometimes a bit more to it. But even that being the case, I mean, in the communications of Dr. King, there is certainly a huge body of teaching which is not obvious at all. It's given in a way that is as easy for us to understand as possible. And some of it, on reflection, you know, is obvious, because sometimes things, when you're told something, it's easy to say, oh, yes, well, that's obvious. But would you have thought of it without being told it? Mm-hmm. Do you do it without being reminded of it? So you have to look at these things in the round. But it's certainly, you're not going to get a great master telling you how to boil your eggs, or, you know, what to watch on television, or any of this kind of banal nonsense. That is just not going to happen. Everything they do is for a very good reason.
Well, that's what I would think, because why would they come in and just waste time with things, like I said, if you just opened your eyes, you could see it for yourself. So
exactly.
That's what I believe, Mark.
Exactly.
Can you give out your website, the websites again, and the way people can get a hold of you again, please?
Certainly, I'd be happy to. The Aetherius Society's website is www.aetherius.org, and I'll spell Aetherius again for you. A-E, T for Tommy, H-E-R-I-U, S for sugar. You can contact me at info@markinfo.co.uk, and you'd be very welcome to get in touch with the American headquarters of the Aetherius Society. They have a free phone number, which is 800-800-1354. I have many good friends who work there who are very dedicated people who knew Dr. King and worked with him very closely for many years, and they would be happy to talk to you about any questions you may have about extraterrestrials and the change of consciousness which is taking place at the moment. And if you're in the Los Angeles area, please do pop into the American headquarters, which is at Afton Place, and our friendly staff there would be happy to show you around and show you a little bit of Dr. King's amazing spiritual legacy.
That'd be great. Now, my angels have always told me since the time I was six all the way through to like now, and showed me a lot of different things, that the 2012 hype that everybody appears to be going through at the moment really is actually starting during 2010. What is your take on the 2012 hype?
Well, I'm not really a big fan of the 2012 hype. I don't know what's going to happen in 2012. Something amazing may happen or it may not. I think that, you know, times are changing, but I would be reluctant to put it down to that date. One thing to bear in mind is that the purpose of prophecy is to change a prophecy or to live up to a prophecy. If it's a prophecy of gloom and doom, the only reason that we're given it is so that we can avert it. And if we're given a prophecy of a great future, the only reason we're given that is to inspire us, motivate us to work hard to make this a reality. So I'm not a believer in fatalism at all. That being the case, particularly with Dr. King's contact with extraterrestrials and his own genius in his own right as a cosmic master, as a living avatar upon this earth, much prophecy has been changed. So certain things which were due to happen may not happen, or may happen in a different way. One of the functions of the Aetherius Society is to try to slow down the catastrophes that are due in these days through various cosmic missions that we perform and through a lot of the other work we do involving spiritual energy and what we call karmic manipulation, which in a nutshell is doing the right thing and thereby changing the karma of the whole world, but doing it very often on a cosmic scale, cooperating consciously and directly with extraterrestrial beings, which we do, to bring certain energies to this earth to be used in various different ways. So, you know, somebody says the world's going to end in 2012. I'd say, okay, well, you're entitled to your opinion, but what are you going to do to try and stop it ending? Or to make that end a positive thing? It is, I think, foolish to just sit back and think, oh, yeah, well, it's all going to end badly, but, you know, whatever, you know. We're never given a challenge on this earth or anywhere in creation. No being is ever given a challenge by karma that we cannot rise to.
Which is really important for people to know because, you know, the media, whatever it is, whether it's radio, television, newspapers, they put out this fear factors, these fear tactics that keep people very much unbalanced as far as emotions and stability inside their own self goes. And I have a very hard time with that. So I don't really listen to the news and I don't read the newspapers. And it's like, no, you guys, you don't have to follow this. But if you follow it, you will get exactly what you're telling them that you're going to be getting, you know. And so I agree with you that it's real important that people do put out the positive. They try to make it toward the positive, not just fall into this negative way of thinking as a victim, because that's what they've done. And it's very, very unhealthy for people to do that, not only for themselves, but for people around them and also for the planet itself, too. You know, so I'm glad you kind of said that, Mark, because it's pretty important. Now, we're almost done, by the way. We talked almost an hour already. But could you give out where they can locate your book at?
Yes, certainly. It's available from the website I gave out. It's also available from the phone number, 800-800-1354. And it's available on Amazon. And if you go to the if you're not in America, go to the website, www.aetherius.org. If you can't find the website, whatever, just Google George King UFOs and you'll find it pretty quick. On the website, we have branches and groups all over the world, and you can find the contact details of the center, Aetherius Society Center, that's closest to you.
Now, your book is printed in different languages. Is that right?
It's recently come out in Russian, I'm very, very glad to say, and Prayer Energy has recently come out in Japanese.
Okay, so it doesn't matter where they are in the world, they'll still be able to read the book and understand it.
Yes, they can speak English, Russian, or Japanese, and they will, yeah. Many of Richard Lawrence's books are in other languages, and some of Dr. King's books are also in other languages, too. And I'd just like to say that, you know, great though God's Guides and Guardian Angels is, it is a very, very much more basic introduction, a basic book compared to the great works of cosmic genius by Dr. King, such as the Nine Freedoms and the 12 Blessings and Visit to the Logos of Earth. These are timeless metaphysical classics. Which are more modern than tomorrow, even though many of them were written back in the 50s and 60s. And these are the books that I would really recommend that you study and allow their wisdom to transform you in a positive way and put their teachings into practice. And if you do it with an open mind and with a good motive, then you will see results. You will get confirmation. You know, you might not see a UFO, you know, you might not have a guardian angel tap you on the shoulder, but something, I believe, it's my personal belief, will happen to any open-minded person who puts in sufficient effort into applying these teachings to prove to that individual, in whatever way is necessary for them, that these teachings work. But it will only happen if the person puts in the effort, and if their motive is correct, and if they're truly open-minded.
Again, those are all very important. Mark, our time is up. It's been a thrill talking to you. I'm so glad we got the chance to talk and let people know about what's going on and your books, because I think they're very, very important. And for right now, I think the simpler the book is to understand, the more the people will get out of it anyway.
Well, God is simplicity, and all the Aetherius Society's books are as simple as they possibly could be, but you know, some of these things are nevertheless very hard for us to grasp, not because they're written in a complicated way, but because our lives are so complicated, because we've deviated from the one simple of creation, which is, and beyond creation, which is the divine source.
Great. With that, Mark, our time is actually up. Again, I'd like
to thank you, Nancy. It's been a great interview. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. You take care. I'd like to thank you to the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great time, and we'll talk later. Bye now.